All right, slip that in your Bible and use it this week to pray for those in our church family, the ministries and the needs, always praying for the lost and for a revival in our own hearts. I'm in Leviticus chapter 14 tonight, and so if you'll flip over there, we've only got to cover 57 verses, so just buckle up. We've got plenty of time. I'm actually only going to really focus on the first 13 or so because those are the critical ones. But this chapter, of course, goes along with what we spoke of last week about being made clean and the identification in chapter 13 of leprosy or skin diseases, boils and such, not just on the skin, but also in fabrics and garments and the need to identify those things lest, like leaven, leaven's a whole lump, the disease spreads and causes more problems. Now, these chapters are tied together because here in chapter 14, there is a routine that they were to go through when they identified that the leprosy had been healed and a cleansing that was to take place. And this is really instructive for us when you stop and think, and the picture that's presented in it, in Leviticus for us, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus came, listen, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so, as I've always told you, whether we are reading about the tabernacle over there in the book of Exodus and all the different furnishings in the tabernacle, whether we're reading about the sacrifices or the priests in the beginning of Leviticus, here where we're reading even about this cleansing, remember, Christ came to fulfill this. And so, a lot of times, remember, when you're reading these sections, you should be saying, "Jesus, God, show me Jesus in this. Spirit of God, show me Jesus in this. Help me to see the Lord Jesus as I read this." And then, not just see him, man, praise God, let's praise him and thank him for who he is and what he's done each and every day. Now, this has to do, again, with leprosy, that debilitating disease that wreaks havoc on the body. It's it is a constant decay, a constant dying of the flesh. And so it's a picture of sin, really, in our lives. Just as sin, or just as leprosy made one unclean and separated one from community, sin will do the same thing, right? Sin will cause broken relationships. It will break fellowship, not just with God, but with other people. And so that's why it's serious and should be dealt with. And we don't want to, you know, think about it lightly or not even talk about it. So often we find ourselves, you know, sweeping things under the rug, not dealing with it, when God has provided everything we need to deal with it. And so when we see this here in Leviticus 14, this ritual for cleansing healed lepers, remember, this is not just about forgiveness, though it'll mention making atonement over and over and over again at the end of this chapter. About six or eight times it will say, "And the priest shall make atonement and make atonement and make atonement." But just because someone had leprosy didn't mean that they had sinned, right? You remember Job, right? He had those boils. He was afflicted with them. Well, that wasn't his fault. That was the devil, right? Putting Job to the test because he wanted him to curse God. His wife did too, right? And he said, "Woman, you don't know anything, right? And naked I came in this world, and naked I'll leave. I got nothing when I came in. I'll go out with nothing, but I can't curse God." Instead, we should look to God, and that's what a leper, frankly, had to do. There was no cure for this disease, right? I mean, if you were diagnosed with leprosy, if you were diagnosed with this skin condition, there was no hope. There was no cure. You'd rely, depended on the Almighty healing you. You were separated from the community. You were put out, put away. You ripped your clothes. Anyone came near you, you cry out, "Unclean, unclean." You weren't allowed to enjoy fellowship with the covenant people and the community. And so it's actually a picture, again, of what sin looks like and why we should take it seriously. And it's something that, you know, frankly, I'm glad we're praying for every Wednesday night for our own revival, that we should always want to be close and clean, and those two things go together. It's a healthy prayer to pray. Now, notice what it says here. And again, I'm going to read this section, and then just as we're reading, start thinking, where's Jesus in this? Where's Jesus in this? Where's Jesus in this? Then the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 2, this shall be the law of the leper for the days of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest, notice this, shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. Indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. He is to be cleansed, shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the eighth day he shall shave all the hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, and all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. Now, Father, speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, as we examine the Old Testament covenant, Lord, and we see how Jesus fulfilled these things and how they point to him and the redemption, the salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, the cleansing of our sins that's afforded to us in Christ. And Spirit of God, I pray that as our teacher, you would guide us into all truth, Lord. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart now be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So the priest here, I find this quite interesting. Remember, over in chapter 13, as it talked about all the different skin maladies, leprosy and boils and all the different various things that could actually happen. What would happen if you developed one of those things, you went to the priest primarily to make certain, is this something that's deadly? Is it something that needs to be dealt with? And you were examined. But here, the picture is of what happens when you're brought back into right relationship with the community of faith, because perhaps you've been separated because of that skin disease. Remember, if you were discovered to be that, you were put out, put away, and you couldn't enjoy the covenant community. That's not a good thing to be. By the way, does that happen with sin? Yeah, think about the guy in Corinthians, right? That sinned so wickedly that even the Corinthians said, man, we don't do that, right? And Paul said, hey, put him out of the body. Let Satan deal with him. Let Satan buffet him, right? And maybe he'll repent and come to his senses and realize we're not condoning that sin in the community of faith. And when he wrote 2 Corinthians, he said, hey, let him back in. He's repented, right? And so a beautiful picture for us of how sin separates. It's like leprosy, okay? It separates us not only from God, but also from his community. I think that's why over in John's epistle, when 1 John chapter 1, John would say, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all our sins. Amen. To wash us, to cleanse us. And if we say we walk in the light, yet walk in the darkness, then, you know, we don't have fellowship with him or with one another, right? So it's important to be walking in the light, walking, living close, and living clean. Well, anyways, notice this, what happens with the priest. I love this picture, right? So someone says, hey, I've been healed. This leprosy's gone. I want the priest to examine me. Now, notice what happens here. This is the law of the leper for the days of his cleansing. He's brought to the priest, but actually he isn't brought inside the tabernacle. The priest goes to him. The priest identifies with him. The priest goes outside the camp to minister to him. And as he goes out to him, it's interesting. He's leaving the tabernacle. He's leaving the place where he serves the Lord. And it's a picture, I think, of our high priest, frankly, that came to minister to us. And in some ways, I think you can see this, how he came. He didn't have to step into this world, but he did. Praise God. And as he did, he tabernacled among us, John chapter 1. And he brought the tent down. Amen. And brought it to us. Now, notice what happens when he comes down. He goes out and he examines him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, again, how did it happen? I mean, I wrote that in my Bible. I mean, who can heal but God? Remember, what do we know about the community of faith that was told them when they left Egypt, went through the Red Sea, God drowned their enemy behind them, Moses had a big old song and dance, right, and celebration there in Exodus chapter 15, and they go just not far in to the promised land, and the people start murmuring and complaining. What'd you do? Bring us out here to die? We got no water, right? And they had the bitter water, right? And then they found God told them, hey, look, here's how you do this. Here's how we'll provide the water. And when he did, it was revealed in that moment the name of God, Jehovah Rophe. And what is that one? The God who heals. One of the first names they learned about God is that he's a healer. Okay? It's easy to pass through this and miss that. Going into the wilderness, you need to know who the healer is. Amen? Who the mighty physician is. Now, what's fascinating is he told them, listen, if you will honor and obey me, then I will protect you from all the maladies. So really, his healing, his physician work is a preventive maintenance thing, is the way it's presented there in Exodus. All right? God's trying to protect us from sin sickness. Have it that way. Think about it that way. All right? And the way to do that is, well, take your vitamins, right? And your medicine, right? Do the preventive checks. Check your heart. Check your body. Check yourself every day. Do a daily checkup spiritually. So they're in the wilderness now. Who heals leprosy? There's no cure for it. And nothing in Exodus, nothing in Leviticus to this point. There's no antidote out there. You're not getting a prescription, okay? Who can heal this? But you go out and you find this one. He's been healed. Well, you know who did that? The great physician. That's the only answer. God did it. So when he looks at this, he examines him. And if the leprosy is healed, then there's a process that they go through. What is that process? The priest examines him. The priest examines and realizes he's clean. So here's what the process is. It's fascinating. He takes two birds, two living, clean birds. He breaks some cedar wood, some scarlet, some hyssop. Later in Leviticus, we'll find that those three things, the scarlet or the cedar wood, maybe it's the sap that comes from it. Maybe it's something in the dye of scarlet. Maybe it's hyssop as well. We'll see that actually over in the Psalms. Wash me with hyssop and I will be clean, right? These things are pictures. We don't know if there's actually any medicinal value in them, but when you see them in Leviticus and even in the Psalms, they're always associated with cleansing and cleansing things. And so these three things are taken with the two birds. And this is amazing. One bird is put into a earthen vessel. Do you notice that? Now, why would you put a bird in an earthly vessel? They're not made to be put in. Birds fly, y'all. They don't go in pots, okay? That's not what they're designed for. In fact, this one is put in an earthen vessel and dies. He's killed with running water. Living water is literally what the Hebrew gives a picture of. And he's died. What is that a picture of? I mean, who put on earthen vessel? Who was killed? Huh? Come on, y'all. Amen? He was. And without the shedding of blood, Hebrews tells us what? There's no remission of sins. Jesus, listen, this is a beautiful picture. Both of these things are, I believe, as he is the one, by the way, he was sanctified. He was offered up by the power of the Spirit of God. That's oftentimes what a picture of water is. Now, that bird dies. That bird's blood is collected. That bird is there. In fact, the other living bird, the cedar wood, the scarlet, the hyssop, the agents for cleansing are put in with some of that blood is sprinkled on that bird, and that bird's not killed. What happens to that bird? It says that bird is let go. He's let go, and he flies off into the field. And frankly, that's a picture for us, I think, of Christ, amen, who's carried our sins away, praise the Lord. And he has given us life, and we've been cleansed through his blood. Now, what a picture. That is what is the celebration right here. That the cleansing has taken place. Who did the healing? There's no one but God that could have done it. Who makes the leper whole? There's no one but God. But watch what happens as he goes through this. He shall be sprinkled 7 times on him who is to be cleansed, verse 7, from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. So he is sprinkled 7 times. When did that happen? When does that happen? What a beautiful picture. Stop and think about this. There's only 2 instances of that happening where that blood is sprinkled on individuals. The first time is over in the book of Exodus, chapter 24, and you can write it and just go read it later. But when they set the covenant, established the covenant with God's people, Moses sprinkled the people with blood 7 times. It was a picture. They're in the covenant with God. They're in the Sinaitic covenant, and they're in the covenant. They're the covenant people of God. So the picture here is, praise God, he's being restored to community. What a picture, amen? That's what, when we're sinning, we are breaking relationships, breaking fellowship, not just with God, but often with individuals made in God's image. But we need that to be restored, amen? And particularly for leprosy, as it separates one from the community. I mean, you lived outside the camp. You couldn't come to worship. You couldn't enjoy fellowship with the believers and with those who were trusting in God and walking with him. And you were alienated, far off. Man, praise God, you're brought back in. What a picture for us, amen? Now notice, not just the community was sprinkled in this way, but if you go over to the book of Leviticus, not that many chapters over, chapter 8 and 9, when God established the priesthood, they also were sprinkled with blood. Leviticus 8 and Leviticus 9, Aaron and his sons, that community of priests, they were established in the way. And you know, I just think sometimes when I think over there in the book of 1 Peter, what it says of us as new as believers that are now the covenant people of God in this way as the church, that we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Man, stop and think about that. You go from being so far from God, separated from the community, and then you're brought back and reestablished, and almost you're not a priest. He's not going to be a priest, okay, according to the tribe of Levi here. But the picture that it presents for us, man, praise God, that God can restore us in this way and enable you. And I mean, who are we that he would use us? Think about that. Man, what a privileged position we're in. Now, what's fascinating is he goes on then, he says in verse 8, now he who is to be cleansed shall, and I love this part, all right, here we go, watch this, wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. Now, hold up, I thought he was clean. I thought the blood was shed. What is he doing? Why has he got to do this if he's been made clean? I mean, does sanctification work that way in any way in our lives? I mean, now listen, we're justified by the blood, amen? The blood is shed and you are treated just as if we've what? Never sinned. Praise God. Well, that's it. We ain't got to do nothing else to be right and righteous with God, do we? Oh, no, 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 no. It's this theology called sanctification. In fact, it's amazing how Paul would say this oftentimes in Philippians. He'll say, put off and put on, right? He'll say, work out the salvation that God has worked in. Confident in this, that he who began the good work is faithful to do what? Finish it. In fact, he'll say in Ephesians, let's renew our minds, right, with the word. Let's renew our minds with God's truth. And how do we do that? We put off old behaviors and we put on new. That's our responsibility. He's taken his responsibility. There's a personal responsibility we still have. God, praise God, he does his part, and it's enough. Amen? But you and I have a responsibility to be working out what God has worked in. And that's a daily thing, okay? We're not going to be perfect. We're perfect positionally in Christ. God sees us through the blood. Praise the Lord. He sees us in Christ. But every day, listen, we've not arrived yet, y'all. And we, by the power of the Spirit and the guidance of the Word, we renew our hearts, we renew our minds day by day. Praise God, we're new creations, but we need to work that out and bear witness. It actually is a testimony and an assurance for us. Man, I really am part of the elect. I'm part of the people of God. He has saved me. He's redeemed me. I want to be that spotless bride that Christ died for. This is how Christ washes and cleanses his bride. I read that passage from Ephesians 5 when we came in. Husbands, the responsibility we have in our own homes, cleansing our brides and washing them, sanctifying them with the word. But Jesus is doing that for his bride. That's you and me, the church. Amen? And he does that through the word. But we have a responsibility in that. Now, on the seventh day, then he's got to shave all his hair off. Please don't do that on Sunday, okay? All his beard, all his eyebrows, and all his hair, he shall shave it all off and shall wash his clothes and his body with water, and he shall be clean. I love those pictures, listen, of a new set of clothes. We put off the grave clothes, the dead stuff, amen? And someone has said we put on the grace clothes. And that's how we live. And we do that repeatedly, recognizing Christ has changed us and we need to be cleansed. Now, if we need to wash in this way, if we need to cleanse ourselves, this isn't just something that isn't here in Leviticus. Isaiah would say that even to God's people, hey, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. He was even speaking to God's people as they had turned their backs on him. The priest then does what, according to verse 11? Verse 10 and 11. On the eighth day, he takes two male lambs without blemish, and you, lamb of the firstborn of the first year, without blemish, 3/10 of the flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and one log of oil, and the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Praise God, we can worship again. Amen. Now, this is important to understand. We have a responsibility to stay close and clean. Why? Because sin disrupts fellowship. And if we're unwilling to acknowledge it, then we're not going to enjoy the fullness of fellowship as God desired for us to do. But praise God tonight, he shed his blood. Amen. Praise God, he put on this earth and this dirt. Amen. So that we could be saved. Praise the Lord. The good work he began, let's see it finished. Amen. Well, let's pray for that tonight, if you will. Pray with me tonight. Praise the Lord. We can cleanse ourselves. We can wash. We can be made new. That's what Christ does. And we should rejoice in that each and every day. And even tonight, strive to enter into that gate. Make it our heart's desire to be close and clean. Father, I pray you'd stir our hearts tonight, Lord, for revival, for renewal daily, Lord, that we would never be satisfied that we've arrived. Lord, we all realize we stumble and fall short of perfection, the glory of God, the requirement each and every day. So, Lord, when we do that, let us not be defeated, Lord. Let us realize there is victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to resolve that, you know what, I'm going to confess my sins because he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, thank you that there is a fountain that washes us and makes us white as snow. God, help us to wash in it daily, Lord. And Lord, we know one day you're going to appear and your bride will be adorned with holy raiment. Lord, we look forward to that day when not just our new bodies, but also all our clothes, Lord, will be spotless. We love you and we praise you and look forward to that day. Go with us this week, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.